Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to Becoming is Messy, where we dive deep into the journey of survival, transformation, and everything in between. I'm your host, Megan Dawson, here to share the honest, unfiltered stories behind my own process of becoming. Life isn't a pretty and perfect straight line, and neither is becoming the person we're meant to be. Here, we embrace the ups, the downs, and all the beautiful, chaotic, messy moments that shape who we are. Whether you're in the thick of change or reflecting on past transformations, this space is for real conversations about what it means to grow, stumble, and rise again. So get comfy, settle in, and let's get messy.
Hello, fellow and future messies. On today's episode of Becoming is Messy, we're diving into the most important relationship that you will ever have, the one with yourself. My guest today is Trista Gurton, a master coach and personal development expert who has made it her mission to help midlife women break free from the cycle of feeling stuck and overwhelmed. Trista's not just brilliant, she's compassionate, no-nonsense, and deeply committed to helping women stop spinning and start soaring. She's the creator of the Unstuck program and the host of This Daring Adventure podcast, where she shares practical tools to help us live life by design, not by default. Trista believes that building a better relationship with ourselves is the foundation for becoming the women we're meant to be. And today, she is here to unpack what that actually looks like, how we learn to trust ourselves, rewrite the stories that hold us back, and take bold action towards the life that we truly want. Let's get messy. Trista, I'm so excited to have you join us. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you. Awesome. I'm very happy to dig in and get to learn more about you. Help us just set the stage for the conversation and let us know, tell us a little bit about this season of your life. How would you describe that?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. So I am Canadian. And for, the last 20 plus years, I was a humanitarian aid worker. So I was living around the world. I've traveled to 78 countries. And most recently, I was living in Lebanon for 8 years working there. And I've been to Iraq and Yemen and Sri Lanka and Angola and Kosovo and Guatemala and lived in all these places and worked for all these years. And along the way, I became a certified master coach, which I loved. And so over the course of the last 4 years, I've been building my business, helping women all over the world with life coaching. And then in last October, gosh, the time is passing so quickly.
So true. I agree.
I left Lebanon last year in October.
Yeah.
And I've been back in Canada ever since and working full-time on my business. So, yeah, it feels a little bit messy because I certainly feel like I am in between because I'm not sure. It's nice to be home. Don't get me wrong. Right. I mean, like I said, I've been away for 20 years and I would come home for Christmas and summer vacation. But this is the first time I've spent any sort of concentrated amount of time here and with my family and whatnot. So that's been fun, but it's been a real experience. It's been a real transition.
Yes.
And I'm not quite sure that in the long term, this is where I'm going to stay. When, you know, I'm sort of still just figuring that all out, but just trying to enjoy it. I think.
Yes, that's exciting. I would love to have you back and hear more about your travels. You know, how many countries my husband and I were taking our three teenagers on Monday. We're heading to South Africa for the first time. Son that goes to college in August. Feels a little bit like our last chance where we have full control of schedules. And so we thought, let's do the epic and let's do a safari and go see South Africa. So excited. We love travel. So I'd love to hear more about your travels in the future. And maybe maybe in this question, there might be some opportunity to share, because the next question, really, every becoming story has its own messy path. What are some of the twists and turns that have led you to this moment?
Gosh, working in humanitarian aid for those 20 years, there was such, I had no real career path. I was sort of just going and applying and waiting to see what opportunities came my way. And where I would go next, and just sort of like, yeah, okay, let's go. And Yemen came up, and I was like, okay.
Wow.
And then love it. And it feels like it's all just been random and twisty and turny. And then, the whole time I sort of struggled with, am I going to do this in the long term? Is this really the life that I want? And there are certain elements of it that are certainly amazing. I mean, being able to live and travel for work and meeting the people that I did and the work that we did really was such an incredible opportunity and very rewarding. But I sort of knew I didn't want to do it in the long term, sort of like, you know, when I'm 65, I sort of thought, okay, like I need to, you know, and then found coaching. And that to me was a real like right turn in some respects, because while I was looking for something that, you know, maybe I could transition to, I got coached myself.
Yeah.
You know, just relationships and career and all the things. And then with COVID, you know, landing up with some time on my hands, I thought, well, okay, I'll do this certification and see where it goes. And I just loved it. As soon as I started doing it, you know, we had to practice on people, and I was practicing on anybody who would let me. Anybody would
grab
my hand.
I can relate to that.
And I just loved it. And I knew I had to start my business. This was it. And so I've been doing that ever since. And now I'm just sort of going, and I have an idea of where I want to go and what I want to do. I would say it's maybe taking me a little bit longer than I thought it would, but overall, it's an incredible journey. I spend a lot of time thinking about what I want to create and where. And that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, well, I'm curious, thinking of your humanitarian work and actually connecting that to your work to build your coaching practice, so much, especially those of us that love to travel, we learn that there's so much more similarity among us all. But even humanitarian work with the worldly problems that you likely experienced, and now potentially working with women that have first world problems, I'm assuming there's some connectivity there. And I'm curious, with all of your experience, are there a few kind of universal truths about women that you've witnessed along the way?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that even before I started coaching, it was certainly something that I was cognizant of and really noticed. I spent some time, actually, when I first graduated from university, I went to South Korea to teach English for a year. And I remember sitting there with a private group, PhD students, women, who were about to graduate. And of course, now this is going back like 30 years ago. They were saying, oh, you're so lucky. You have all these opportunities. You can do whatever you want. They were about to finished their degrees and whatnot, but then they were going to get married. And once they got married, they said, like, that's it. Like, you're out of the game. You're home. You're with the kid. You know, you start having kids. Like, that's it. I guess at that point, that was a real eye-opener for me. And so I really started paying attention more and more to the women that I was meeting around the world as I went. And yeah, I mean, I was always struck by, was always struck by how hardworking the women were, how competent, how dedicated, how keen they were to learn, always very warm. I just, you know, it's the women that, I mean, not all women, but it's the relationships that I had with women, particularly not even our beneficiaries, but certainly the women I work with
day to day, because in the work that I was doing, I was working mainly with national staff.
In Lebanon, almost my entire, like 99% of my team were Lebanese.
So I was always working in these national teams. And yeah, I was always really struck by the women. Like, just really smart, really hardworking, really dedicated, really keen.
Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah. I feel like what I'm hearing you describe is just that level of curiosity, of learning and growth. I too feel, I certainly have men in my life that embody that too. But by far, almost every woman in my life has this drive to consistently tap into their own power and learn about it and grow it. So that's now true. Thinking of you bringing that wisdom back to yourself and learning about you, you know, that there were periods where you felt disconnected and stuck from yourself. What were some of the signs that showed up in those periods to help you realize there was a disconnect there?
Part of it was my emotions and not really being able to deal with them in a way that, you know, I mean, getting so frustrated and so overwhelmed. And that's really what brought me to coaching in the first place, is I was just beside myself at one point, you know, with the relationship and the emotions and whatnot. I had to figure this out. Like, I couldn't keep going. And there was just an ease inside me. And then as I got more and more into coaching, realizing, you know, I wasn't really setting goals for myself. I had a good life for sure, and I was doing well. But realizing that there's so much more that I could do, I guess, I was capable of. And to really sort of channel my energy and my time and my resources into myself and into my growth, and to see what I was capable of and what was possible for me. Think back to that time, like, I have my life before coaching and yes, my life after coaching. And I just think, what was I doing with my time? And I read a lot, so I always feel good about that. I was doing some things, but I sort of feel like now just so focused and so driven and excited.
Yeah.
And having fun.
Yeah. It's, some of your words really reminded me of that feeling, that because I relates my kind of soul awakening came with my first marriage, a bad marriage, and finally a divorce. And I had that growth journey and realizing that there was something in me saying I wanted more. I had, on paper, I had a great life. I had a husband. I had a new baby. I had a big house. I had a nice car. I had a good job. Lots of privilege there. And yet I had that feeling, and I felt guilt for that. And I feel like there, I felt guilty. What's wrong with me? These are all the things that I thought you want in life. And I feel like that's so common in the women that I've crossed paths with, that I've worked with, that it's just this feeling like, who am I to want more? I have so much. When you look around, you know, I feel like even in your humanitarian, when you look around the world where there's so much lack, yet from the way we measure things, there's also so much fulfillment with the littlest amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious, for those women listening that are in that early place where there's just that little nudge that they want more, but they have that feeling of guilt. And I'm curious, just sort of, what are some early steps to start helping yourself unstick from that guilty feeling?
Right. Well, I think part of it is being honest with yourself and listening to that nudge. Like, give it a little bit of space, give it a little bit of room, because I think our first instinct is to sort of push it down and sort of, and like you said, like, you go through that whole thought process of, it's enough, you know, I have enough. And so then it's that, there's that urge to sort of quell it and to put it away. Don't do that. So give it a little space to sort of explore it and just be curious.
Yes.
Be honest with yourself about what you want and why you want it. And don't make it mean that you have to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Just having that space and giving it some thought and giving it some room and being honest with yourself, but not having to feel any pressure, any need to act on it right now. That's okay. But at least be honest with yourself, right? And then you can think about, really, like, what are my reasons for this?
And is it really something I could explore? And sometimes it's enough to just take really small actions. Like, what's one small thing you can do? And then others modify. And I know this is kind of a weird example, but I thought for years about running a marathon. I thought, there's no way I can run a marathon. No way I can run a marathon. I was thinking about this for 10 years. And then, it just wouldn't leave me alone. So I started Googling and doing all the things. And I discovered, I don't know, I didn't really think about it before, but there are half marathons.
Yes, yes.
Well, yeah. You know, right? Marathon. Okay, well, that sounds a little bit more doable.
There's even 5Ks.
And then I was Googling training plans. And I discovered there are training plans where you can run and walk.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So true.
Run and walk. Like a half a marathon. And so that's what I did. After 10 years of not doing anything about it. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, the thing is that it may not look like exactly how you are sort of thinking about it right now, but there can be variations and there can be options, and it can be a really great starting place to explore and to make some movement. So don't dismiss it completely out of hand. Explore what the options might be and if there are sort of options and variations and
Yeah. I love that analogy. My husband's a triathlete, and that's his mantra is, as long as you're moving forward, you're making progress. As long as you're moving, you're doing. And that's a great analogy for life and all of these things that we're talking about. I feel like you've helped get us started on that initial steps that people can start moving forward. I love your Unstuck program. I love how actionable it is. And I'm curious if, for our listeners, if you could just narrow it down a little bit and give us a little bit of context of what those kind of 12 weeks look like, and just what does that transformation translate to for the people that you work with?
Right. I wanted to create something to give my clients the tools and the skills so that they would never have to feel stuck again.
Yeah.
Which may seem like a big thing, but I truly believe that this is possible. And I designed a program. It has 5 pillars that helps to move my client forward, starting with the self-concept and the past. Now, life coaching is different than therapy. Therapy is very past-focused. For diagnoses, it's for people who are just sort of struggling to function normally. Life coaching is, you're okay and you want to go take it to the next
level.
That's
right. Yes.
So I do believe, though, that we bring some baggage with us. And there are stories that we tell about ourselves. There are stories we tell about our upbringing and our parents and our siblings and our schooling and all the things, right? But we still carry with us, I see this all the time, women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are still carrying this baggage with them, defining themselves by it. And really what happens is we just land up creating more and more of the past. We land up telling ourselves stories that aren't helpful, not useful, and that really do hold us back. So we want to clean up some of that. And we do some emotional processing. We look at some of the stories that we're telling and we start to sort of shift them so that they are just more helpful and they feel better. And they're serving you instead of weighing you down and holding you back. And you release all of that. And then we can start to look at some of the mindsets and understanding what's going on in our brain, because I believe that that is really important. There are a lot of things going on in our brains that we aren't aware of, and we tend to just take at face value whatever it is we're thinking and believe that that's true and that it's important and that, we need to believe it, which isn't the case at all. So we want to start to build that understanding and that awareness of what's going on, and then we can start to shift it again. Learning how to think more intentionally and deliberately. And then we move into pillar three, where we look at the emotions. And it's really that combination of the mindset and the emotions, which to me are the secret to the universe.
Yes.
Because if you can learn how to think deliberately and intentionally, and then pair that with not being overwhelmed by your emotions, the fear, the doubt, the overwhelm, and then generating and creating intentionally motivation, discipline, determination, focus, strength, whatever it is you want to feel, then that's where the rubber hits the road and we start to really move ourselves forward. Otherwise, we're stuck in these emotions where we're reacting, we're resisting, we're eating pints of ice cream and watching 10 hours of Netflix. We're doing things to avoid feeling, which keeps us stuck.
Yeah, it helps us survive.
Exactly. Right?
So
and that's
true.
A very powerful skill.
So true.
And it can change everything. And actually, I am doing a masterclass on Tuesday, the 23rd of July, if anybody's listening to this just before. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes. Great.
So it's the power of emotion, and it's really going to go through why this is such important work and how we can start to be and allow with our emotions. And then the fourth pillar is the relationship with ourselves, which is the most important relationship we have. If we don't know how to like ourselves and love ourselves and trust ourselves and be able to generate our self-confidence and all of those things that help us to, you know, again, move ourselves forward, we get stuck in people-pleasing, not setting boundaries, constantly looking for validation, doubting ourselves, you know, being stuck in imposter syndrome, all of those things that, you know, we're looking externally for that validation and the appreciation and the respect and, you know, all of that, that just keep, you know, it's not a good use of our time and our energy. When we can generate that for ourselves, then it's uplifting, it's solid, and then we can invest our time and our energy into creating whatever it is we want. And then finally, the fifth pillar is the future self work that we do. Really getting clear on who do you want to become? What goals do you want to set? What do you want your life to look like? And learning a process to go after those things, like intentionally setting goals and creating those results. I think that's important. How many of us are actually creating goals for ourselves? How many of us actually have a very clear idea of who we want to become, what we want to create for our lives? So just getting that clarity, spending that time to get really focused and start to move ourselves towards it. But it's these five pillars that sort of go in sequence and sort of build on one another so that you have those tools and skills. And you're not stuck.
So when you're not stuck, what does that look like for people that have really embraced these five pillars, have those tools now in their life? How does their life look different once they are armed with this?
Right. So I think there's this feeling that they've let go of some of the baggage. There's a lightness and an ease.
Yes.
That, you know, we learn to have that awareness of what's going on in our mind and being able to take that pause and really question it and sort of look to see, okay, wait, is this helpful? So you're not just at the effect of an unmanaged mind, right? You're aware, because as long as you have a human brain, it's going to continue to offer you crappy thoughts and defaults and negative and look for problems. But you will become better at understanding what's going on and having that awareness. So you're just not at the effect of that all of the time. And then you're able to shift and, you know, refocus your brain on what you want to think and how you want to feel. You're not being overwhelmed by your emotions. You're not reacting. You're not at the effect of everything that's going on around in the world around you, but you're more actively creating it. You're showing up how you want to show up. You realize where you have your power and how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get into that relationship with ourselves, you're learning how to generate your own self-confidence. You're not looking to others to validate you and to make you feel better. You have that foundation. You have those tools and those skills. And then, you know, there's just that clarity that you develop and you create for yourself about where you're going. You're not treading water anymore. You're not experiencing that frustration. You realize you have the ability to create whatever it is you want, and you're actively moving yourself towards that. So it's a very empowering process.
Yeah. It sounds like it. I just love so many of the phrases that you just used in that last segment of self-creation, self-reliance, self-confidence. Really, at the end of the day, all those add up to really help you see that you have all that you need within. Yeah. The relationship with self. In your words, why have you described that as the most important relationship that we all have is the one with ourself?
Mostly because we are starting to give ourselves what we need. And we learn that we have that ability and we start to do that. And I think then we move from spending so much time being at the effect of the external world and chasing after all of the respect and the appreciation. Because a lot of times what we're doing unintentionally is we're changing relationships and we're changing houses and we're changing jobs and we're changing all the things that we change how we look. We buy the clothes, we do the plastic surgery and the Botox. And listen, I have nothing against Botox, but yeah, you know what I mean?
You just keep doing all those things, right?
Yeah. To feel better.
That's right.
Right? And we, you know, think this is going to solve all the problems. Listen, I've been there. I've done it. I've bought all the clothes, all the things, like done it. Change our hair color, like all of it. And what we can shift to with this relationship is we're giving ourselves what we need and what we want. Because if I'm dependent on something out there, it's never going to be enough and it's never going to end. You know, somebody could tell me today that I'm amazing and, you know, whatever it is that I want to hear. And I will be satisfied for a couple of hours. And then I will wake up tomorrow morning and my brain will go, well,
no, it's just, it's no, never, no.
When you have that need in you that you're trying to fill externally, it can never be filled enough.
Yes.
And what we're learning in that relationship with ourselves is how to fill that up ourselves. So we're not looking externally. You may get that recognition and you may get some of that praise and you may get some of that respect, but it's sort of like a cherry on top. That's it. It's not as crucial. It's not as critical. And then what happens? You're not spending your energy people-pleasing, not setting boundaries, bending over backwards, chasing all the things. You're able to channel your energy into creating and evolving and growing and doing whatever it is that you really want to do.
Hey, Messies. Quick pause before we dive back in. If you're loving these conversations and want a little extra support on your own becoming journey, head over to megandawson.com. You can sign up for my weekly email. It's like a little love note from the messy middle, filled with stories, tools, and truths to help you feel less alone. And if you're looking for personalized support, I've got a few spots open for one-to-one coaching. If that's been on your heart, let's talk. All right, back to the episode.
One of the words you used was going through these pillars and finding an ease to life that may have not existed before. Life's going to keep happening to you. There's going to be curveball after curveball. And just thinking of your own journey as well as women that you've worked with, when those massive curveballs come, I think sometimes people that haven't done this work, I feel like question that even those, there's an ease to. It's not that it's easy, but there is an ease because you have a process. Just some anecdotal thoughts on how you see that look for women that have done this work and the way they're able to navigate some of life's really hard stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have one story, and this is not like critical sort of issue, but, you know, when I was in Lebanon, I was driving And I would drive to work in the morning, 6 kilometers. It would take me maybe 20 minutes. In Lebanon, it was in the north. There were no traffic lights. There were no traffic cops. There were no street signs. It was these two little lanes, people driving back and forth and up and down, and they wouldn't signal, like nothing. They were just like, and I would get so frustrated. By the time I got to work in the morning, I was just,
oh, that feeling.
Yes.
Oh my God. Chaos and traffic. I feel like I could feel myself experiencing that feeling. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I would be haunting my
home.
And I'd be yelling at people and all of the things, right? Like, it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be happening. And I would just rail against it every single day. What happened was I listened to a podcast and it was about emotional adulthood. And basically, and again, this is not something new. There are many, many, many teachers and philosophers and psychiatrists, everybody who speaks about this. But so you have the power to decide how you want to respond at any given time. And you can't control other people. And it doesn't help to argue with reality. And the only thing you can do in any given moment is decide how you want to respond and how you want to show up and what you want to think, and thereby what you want to feel. And when I was yelling at the other drivers and getting upset, basically what it came down to, what I learned, was I was giving my power away to that other driver. And he would go on his merry way, probably didn't even pain, like, no clue, not, I didn't change a thing, nothing. But I was the one who was getting upset. And what I learned is I have a choice. That's right.
And so I remember the exact moment and where I was when I was driving to work in the morning, and this driver just turned the corner right in front, like didn't look, just, you know, and I started to feel, and I was like, wait, do I want to give my power to that driver?
That's such a good question.
And taking that pause, and I was like, hey, and that's really started the journey for me and seeing that these tools really worked.
Yeah.
And over the course, I got lots of practice with it. Like, no matter what was going on in the roads around me, eventually I was just like, mup.
Oh, I just love that little phrase. I want to say that again, because I definitely have gotten much better over the years with the pause and just not giving away that power right away, but taking just a breath to just check in with myself. But I feel like those times when it really is a heightened feeling, to pause and ask yourself, do I want to give my power to that? Yeah, I think that's a really powerful check-in.
Right. Because I remember some of my coach said, like, and it's my ex-husband, but she was talking to someone else and she's like, you know, of all the people in the world, do you want to give your power away to your ex-husband or
that's
this driver?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
How
often is, I feel like you would say yes in a very minimum, it truly becomes your circle of people.
That's
sometimes
it.
You want to be upset, and that's okay too.
Of course.
I feel it just kind of gives you some space to dial it down and recognize that it's just not worth it.
Yeah. It's really not.
No, it's really harming you way more than anybody you're mad at. So,
Right. It gives you that perspective.
Yeah.
And as you go through life, as you go through challenges, there are things that are going to come up. And as we said, you are going to be upset. But it's like knowing how to be upset and knowing how to process that and allow it without reacting to it, slamming doors, yelling at somebody, eating the pint of ice cream, drinking that bottle of wine, whatever it is we do, just better equipped that we're not as overwhelmed. And I really do feel like there's not these extreme high.
Oh, I agree. The extremes.
True. Yeah.
Very much agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although here's one thing maybe we want to challenge to go extreme is that creativity side. Like, I've also read your perspective on how women just often don't realize how capable they are and what they're able to create. Again, from your perspective, as you have done this work yourself and helped others, how do you see that get unlocked as people get unstuck?
You know, and again, I can speak, I have one client story and myself as well. I mean, certainly I know for myself.
Yeah.
Before I was coached, I would have said, I'm not creative at all.
Yeah.
I have
so true.
I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't have that bone in my body. And, you know, it wasn't until working with a coach and
you know, sort of working through that and not just getting coached on it, but like actively working on developing that in myself and allowing it room to breathe, allowing myself to consider it, that it's a possibility, right? Mm. Because for years I was just telling myself, no, 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 it's not possible.
Yeah.
But opening that door just a crack to, you know, this might be possible. Like there might be a smidge there, and then just exploring that with persistence and resilience to keep doing that. And then certainly with some of my clients, the issue comes up around money. And I see a lot of hesitancy. I'm working with an artist in New York City. And of course, there's this whole starving artist sort of persona or ideology that they have absorbed over the years. And I said, well, what if that's just a myth? Like, what if it doesn't have to be true? I have to be real. Like, what if you can make money? Like, what if you could, you know, how much money would you like to make?
Yeah.
And she said, okay, well, I'd like to make 100,000. And I said, okay, well, that's a big start. That's good. But opening that up, and she's done really well. Like, she's found someone out of the blue. Someone came and wanted to represent her and put her in a gallery and start to show the work. She has really gone to that next level, but you know, just allowing herself to be open to that possibility and to show up, because your energy shifts and you start to show up differently. And she was putting herself out there more and showing what she had. And it makes all the difference once you open that door, just even a crack.
Yeah, it reminds me of your marathon analogy. And it's true with these mindset shifts. Once you get started, that energy is just a snowball effect.
It's true.
You take that baby step, you get validated, and then you believe a little more. And then you start feeling like maybe that was a coincidence. And then you're like, no, it's just this process. And it's one of my favorite parts of doing this podcast and highlighting voices like yours that believe in this coaching mindset, because I think these stories are so important in amplifying the power of positive energy and the correlation to an abundant life. And I do think that we have all these constraints that I no longer believe in, but I certainly get the fear. We all have to pay our bills and feed our families, but there is different forms of abundance and there's different ways of building that we've just never been taught.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, you know, we start off as babies and children and then go into our teenage years and our early 20s. And there are a lot of forces. Like I said, you know, we have that primitive part of our brain.
Right.
We have our parents or caregivers. And then we have, you know, education, religion, media, you know, all the cultural things, all of the things sort of acting on us. And it is somewhat confining, and it does sort of put us in a box. And by our very nature, there is a part of us that wants to conform and wants to be safe and wants to just follow along. And it's risky to think outside the box. And we do some of these things, and we don't realize that once we get into our 20s, we can sort of start to think, wait a minute, do I really want this? Does it make me happy? You know, is it really what I want?
Right.
And so, you know, coaching provides some of that space, explore that, and then to examine and explore the possibilities, which I think is really important. But really does take having somebody there in your life to say, hey, have you thought about this? And why not? And let's explore that a little bit. Like, is that something that you might want? Yeah. Or what else might you want? So having that space to work on your life, but not be in your life, and just take that time and invest in yourself like that can be very powerful.
Yeah, that's not for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that traditional path that you described, it is for some people. This is just my opinion. I don't have any statistics to back this up, but I do wonder sometimes, since so many women come into this line of work, I do wonder if it is a more traditional benefit and it really aligns more with men. And with women, it just seems to me more and more that traditional path silences that inner voice. I think so much of the work that you and I do is really helping people come home to that and back to what already existed at some point in time. I see that with my kids. I have two daughters and a son. And with the daughters in particular,
I just don't see that they've lost that as much. I feel like they have the language. So I'm curious to see coaching evolve over the next 20 years and see as different generations come up, they just have a different emotional intelligence understanding. And it'll be neat to see how that shift really influences the world.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to hear. What I see with some of the women in their 40s and 50s and 60s is they were really busy. Like they just didn't have the time. Once you're working, you have kids, you're all the things. And it's really now this time in our lives where we have that space and we have that time to do some of that exploration. And really, you know, we see that we have a lot of life left to live. There's a lot we can do. And definitely there's that sense that, okay, it's time to really see what's possible. There is that nudge, that feeling that they're meant for more to explain it. But one of the things I see, and this is why I'm so passionate about this work, is, you know, we spend a lot of time thinking that there's something wrong with us.
Yeah.
Or that we're doing it wrong. Or somehow that it's not for
us. And we need to be fixed.
Yeah. And that's what I was hearing consistently, especially when I first started coaching. And I was noticing this in the containers, whether I was getting coached or I was coaching someone or being in a group coaching session. It was just repetitive that there was always some sort of flavor of I'm doing it wrong. Or there must be something wrong with me. And what I've realized is, no, you're human. Like, this is, like, we can't all be wrong. Like, you can't tell me that every single woman on the planet.
That's so true.
All wrong. And so that's the one thing that I always tell, whether I, you know, speak to a person once or I work with them for months, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not doing it wrong. Look, there are tools and there are skills. There are things you can learn and do things differently, but there's nothing wrong with you. It's okay.
It's okay.
Figure this out. It's not terminal.
Yes. Oh, I agree there. And you're never going to stop learning and growing. So it's like you're never going to be perfect. So embrace
your work. Really, that's not the goal.
That's
right?
The goal, right?
Let's see what's possible for our lives. Let's see what's possible for ourselves. Let's see what we're capable of and have some fun along the way.
Yes, I love that. Speaking of having some fun along the way, I have a few questions. This is, I call rapid reel. Just some questions to just check in with you and get to know you a little bit more, a little lighter than maybe some of the topics we've covered. Some maybe not, but is there something that you used to think made you too much that you now celebrate about yourself?
Oh, well, I always thought like all my traveling, I had this constant urge to like travel, go all the places. And I thought, oh, is that wrong?
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, you know what? That's one of the best parts of me.
Yeah.
And I do that too with animals. I rescued a lot of animals along the way.
Yeah.
And I was sort of like, everybody would be like, you can't save all the animals. Well, I'm not trying to save all of them, but I'm doing what I can.
Yeah.
And now I think that's one of the best parts of me.
I don't know if travel will be your answer, but I'm curious, like just a guilty pleasure that you have when you're stuck in overthinking. Do you have a go-to guilty pleasure?
It probably comes down to food. I would probably say it's like chips and dip.
Yeah, for sure. Get it. I feel like people always say salty or sweet, right? So salty for you.
Very salty, yes. And it's like if I need to just, you know, take a few minutes and relax, I'm like, going to the chips and dip.
Well, I should have asked this question before that one, because right before you have the chips and dip, you know, when do you just not feel like adulting? What does that look like for you?
You know, sometimes I think I'm in the process of sort of like cleaning up and going through stuff and organizing. There, I found boxes of like my grandmother's china and all these things that I've bought along the way. And I was looking at like some of the china is wrapped in newspaper from 2000, like the year 2000. It's not a bit tight then. So I'm like having to go through and make decisions about keeping that and cleaning it up.
Oh, yes.
It's not like that for me. I'm just like,
too much.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how perfect the system is, that overwhelm feeling does still come.
Yeah.
How do you quiet your inner critic?
You know, it's definitely something that I've been working on a lot. And I do have almost a daily practice
that I need to sort of clean up my mind. And I do this with all of my clients too. We need to spend that time in the morning sort of cleaning out and cleaning up what we're thinking. Deciding on purpose what I want to think and what I want to focus on for that day, and definitely giving my brain that focus instead of just leaving it to its own devices.
Yeah.
Because I find that inner critic gets worse if I'm not actively managing my mind and giving it something to focus on. Because it's looking for the problems. It's looking, you know, defaulting to the negative all of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I sort of feel like, that's when I say I go into the God art like that.
Yeah.
Just, it's not managed. So I find the more consistent I am with cleaning it up and giving it something to focus on, the better or quieter that voice is.
Yeah, that's good.
Active management.
Yeah, that's good. I have one more question for you before. Can you just let our listeners know how they can connect with you and your work? And I will also post some links. So we'll make sure in the follow-up to have links to where you mentioned, as well as the masterclass that you mentioned. We'll definitely make sure to highlight that too. How you'd like folks to connect with you. And then also if there's anything that we didn't cover that you wanted to add.
Sure. Thank you. Well, the best place to find me is my website. So that's tristagurton.com. I have my podcast website, which is also a good place to find me and all of the episodes. So that's thisdaringadventure.com. And then I'm also very active on Instagram. There I'm Trista Gurton Coaching, and that's G-U-E-R-T-I-N. And those are really the best places to find me.
Okay. All right.
In terms of, you know, anything else, I go back to that idea that there's nothing wrong with you and you're not doing it wrong. We just spend so much time beating ourselves up. And I think that's one of the most important messages that I can share with anybody at any time. It's, you know, have some self-compassion for yourself. And probably one of the best action points that you can take from this is, yeah, like, stop beating yourself up. Stop the name. Decrease, you know, stop the judgment of yourself. And that alone can create some of that light and that ease that we were talking
about. One final question. So listeners right now might be in their own messy middle, rock bottom, thinking back to when you were in those moments. What's a piece of advice that you wish would have come sooner?
I think it goes back to that driving story. We have the choice to respond in however we want. We always have that choice, and that's where our power is. We're going to go through things. We're going to have experiences. Life is going to throw a lot of challenges at us. But being able to have that awareness that you can choose how to respond, and that there are tools and skills that can help you to respond in a way that helps you feel better and do better and then show up better. It exists. So keep going. And it's okay to ask for help. Sorry, that's a lot of things, but it's
okay. No, this is good. I feel like when we're at our rock bottom, I think we'll take a lot of things.
No, keep going. Just keep going.
Oh, very wise. It was such a pleasure getting to know you and having you on the show. Trista, thank you for being here. And to our messies, if this message hit home, please go follow Trista's work, including her podcast, This Daring Adventure, and her powerful Unstuck program. And please share it with fellow messies, leave us a review, and don't forget to keep showing up as your beautifully imperfect self. Until next time, keep becoming one messy moment at a time. Thank you.
Before we wrap today, I want to invite you to be part of the Becoming is Messy community. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And if there's anything that resonates with you, please leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me, and it helps other people find this community. Follow me on social media. I'd love to hear your ideas for future topics, your questions, and stories from your own messy moments. And if you're feeling inspired, check out the Becoming is Messy shop, where you can grab a mug, a t-shirt, or something else that reminds you to embrace your messy magic every single day. A huge thank you to the incredible Wolves and Sheep for providing the music for Becoming is Messy. Check them out on your favorite music streaming platform. As we close out today's episode, remember this. Messy is just another word for growing. So keep showing up, keep laughing, and keep making beautifully awkward progress. Until next time, stay messy, my friends.